Listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
August 5th, 2009. Let me go to work. I have no time to waste today. Again, the three types of clothing, according to Quran, Quranic verse, Surah 7, verse 26. Now, there are other places in the Quran that talk about clothing, but I think this is a good place to start if you really want to get into the mind of the Sudanese Muslims who are for or against the clothing that the journalist had on. I'm reading from the Muhammad Maulana Muhammad Ali version of the Quran. There's many versions you can get. You can compare them. Get into the Arabic if you want. I don't speak Arabic. I need an English / Arabic Quran, and I do not apologize for that. I'm going to be raised from the dead in English first. Then I'll learn some other languages. Some of you all learn in Arabic and don't have the principles mastered. Let me learn the principles in English, then we can move on to Arabic. Now, the extremists on the right, you would say, religious extremists on the right, take an extreme view of what I have said, maybe, or quoted from words of Allah in the Quran. And on the left, you have individuals who act as if anything that a woman would put on or not put on is appropriate. Neither group is correct. You do not need to have a woman wrapped up to the point where you can't see anything but her eyeballs. I don't believe Islam supports that. I don't think you could find anywhere in the Quran that would back that up, but people have tried and have argued over that. I'm going to bring two writings to the witness stand. One I wrote. I don't think I've talked too much about this book, but I was published in a book a few years ago. The book is, some of you may have heard of it, On the Left, for those who care about that. The book is called The W Effect, Bush's War on Women. Now, I have an essay in here, one of the most famous or popular that I've written. It's called The Thong Versus the Veil. And before you go and rush to judgment on whether the journalist's outfit is appropriate or inappropriate, think about this first. I wrote this November 26, 2001. It was published at blackelectorate.com. The sudden discussion and expressed concern for Afghanistan's female population is striking. To us, it seems to have the same hollow and disingenuous feel as the campaign to stop slavery in the Sudan and the effort to keep Elian Gonzalez in America, away from his father. We also are picking up the same whiff of moral equivalency violations that are so prominently associated with the Elian and Sudan discussions. Now, I was writing this after pictures were coming back of how oppressed supposedly the women were in Afghanistan. But watch how I flip it. Or as my man Ephraim Queens might say, watch how I freak it. All right. We thought of this over the weekend as we pondered the condition of women all over the world, including those in the United States of America. We thought of this as we watched the latest music videos on MTV and BET, which featured the most scantily clad white, black, and Latino women to be found anywhere on earth. We wondered at the end of the day, of the two groups of women most prominently featured on American TV these days, who gains more respect for their intellect and their spirit? The Afghan woman who is so totally veiled that you can't even see her eyes, or the black woman in the R&B and hip-hop video who dances while wearing a bikini and a thong? Is less more? It was interesting to see women lament over the plight of Afghanistan's women. Women who now want the U.S. government to ensure that the rights of women are protected in the newly constituted Afghanistan. But we couldn't help but remember that it was over 100 years before women obtained the right to vote in the newly constituted United States of America. Paradoxical. Over the weekend while watching C-SPAN, we caught an imam from Oakland who powerfully made the argument that there are more women serving in Iran's parliament than there are women serving in the U.S. Congress. He also made a point that it has been the United States government that has supported some of the most repressive regimes, including the Taliban, in terms of women's rights. The United States, he indicated, has a very selective memory when it comes to defending women's rights. It all made us think of a recent conversation we had with a brilliant black woman where we made the point that many Muslim nations have already had female leaders, presidents, and prime ministers, while the United States has never had one. We also agreed that we were confident that a woman would not become president of the United States before we passed from this earth. What am I saying? I mean, really think about what I'm saying, those of you that want to argue over whether the pants are too tight or too lax. I mean, what the hell are you really jumping into? For all of the talk of the mistreatment of Afghan women, we wonder if more women are raped in Afghanistan than are raped here. Now again, I'm reading something that I had published. You can go out and get the book. It's called The W Effect. Bush's War on Women is edited by Laura Flanders. The W Effect. Bush's War on Women. Edited by Laura Flanders. We wonder, in proportion to the population, of course, if there are more prostitutes there than there are here. We wonder where more women are victims of domestic abuse, in Afghanistan or in the United States of America. Accounting for the various language differences, we wonder where more women are referred to as bitches and whores, in America or in Afghanistan. And where are women greater victims of sexual harassment? And is not a fact that in the United States of America, the bastion of freedom, that women get paid less for doing the same work as their male counterparts? And is it not white women, not even blacks, who are the greatest beneficiaries of affirmative action programs in the United States of America? Why? And for all of the talk of how women are mistreated in Islam and in Afghanistan, we don't totally disagree, but we ask the question, how many white or black Christian women preach in the pulpit on Sunday? How many churches in this country still prevent women from being ordained or have never in their history in America had a female pastor? That same imam from Oakland that we referred to also made a sharp point over the different ways in which Catholic nuns, who are almost completely veiled, are perceived as opposed to Muslim women who are veiled. We wonder, will there be a parallel movement among those so concerned about the veiling of Arab, African, and Afghan women in Islam to liberate the same white Catholic nuns who are not only totally covered, save their faces, but who are not allowed to marry men? We must ask those people in America styled as fighting for the freedom of Afghan women if this mandatory dress code and prohibition on marriage for nuns qualifies as oppression. I mean, why not that? Are nuns oppressed because they're not even allowed to marry? This is why I don't have no time. I hope my mother's not listening. I said, I have no time for this, for the left-right BS. Ooh, I came real close to cussing. You're not going to control me into thinking in terms of only Democratic and Republican Party worldviews. Let me read another article. 1962, April, Muhammad speaks, are fashion and beauty the same? 1962, April, fashion is seasonal, but beauty is eternal. Beauty and fashion as we know it are more often confused. It would seem that the desire of most women is to be admired for her beauty. Now remember, in terms of what the Quran teaches in this one verse, Surah 7 verse 26, there is clothing that has been sent down for shame, to cover your shame. There's clothing for beauty, and there's clothing that guards against evil. Now, if clothing for beauty is allowed in Islam, how could you not say that this sister is not beautiful? Now, I want to know from the Muslims who have a problem with what the Sudanese journalist is wearing, what is allowable in Islam in terms of a woman looking beautiful? Is that a woman wrapped up in a veil with only a slit for her eyeballs? I don't find that beautiful. I had to applaud myself on that. I know this is getting a little tight up in here. Let me read this article again from Muhammad Speaks, Are Fashion and Beauty the Same? It says here, are the new skirts long or short? says here, so we see the result in the many indiscriminate dash for fashion. What is vogue this season? Are the new skirts long or short? Is the little boy or the little girl looking? Is it flare, sheath, or trapeze? Tucks or ruffles? A short haircut or a full-blown green wig? Let us question for a moment, what is going to make us beautiful? Again, I'm reading Muhammad Speaks, 1962 April, Are Fashion and Beauty the Same? Let me put the sister up again from Sudan. I want all of the Muslim scholars, if you care to, break down Hadith, Quran, Sunnah, jurists, Hanbali, Hanafi, whatever your school may be. I think all we need to do is really just read the Quran. Let me applaud that. Since the Quran is forgotten sometimes, people want to put Hadith over Quran, Sunnah over Quran, an Islamic scholar on Sharia over the Quran. Deal with Surah 7 verse 26. It says here, all black women are endowed with the basic material for a true beauty, a mind, heart, and body already fashioned by the perfect creator. We have only to develop them to their fullest beauty, not distort or disregard them so much that they change seasonally with Paris. Oh, shout to my mother, who, I don't know about the women who are listening, but I love the Spiegel's catalog. Spiegel, is Spiegel still around? Maybe they can sponsor my show. My mother and I used to go through the Spiegel's catalog. I used to love the long garments. I think this is where I first learned that a woman could look absolutely beautiful without a lot of skin showing or even form. Spiegel's. Anybody shop from Spiegel's? Are they still around? The article goes on to say, not distort or disregard them. It says we have only to develop them, a mind, heart, and body. Not distort them or disregard them. I don't feel like hearing no Philadelphia music right now. Hold on. Shout out to Cliff Lee, though, the Phillies' new ace. Roy Halladay got banged up last night in the Yankees-Toronto game. Okay. You may argue that the mind does not enter into it, but it certainly does. What frame of mind would a woman who has the little boy or the free and easy look have? You do not need fashion. You as a black woman need only a few basic rules to follow to be beautiful. Cleanliness, internally and externally at all times. For cleanliness is next to godliness. Modesty is a woman's most valuable asset. It makes her far more noticeable and interesting than does the frequently almost naked fashion we see in the streets daily. Last but not least, naturalness. Man, let me run that back. Muhammad Speaks, April 1962. These are the three elements. Cleanliness, modesty, and naturalness. You, the black woman, are beautiful without the cakes of makeup you have been wrongly taught to wear. Every feature on your face is clearly defined without accenting them. You were born with the right color hair to match your beautiful skin. Strawberry blonde and bottle green does not complement your skin color the way your natural hair does. Dress to accent your femininity. Do not let anyone change your perfectly designed body by making you pear-shaped one season and S-shaped the next. Remember, you are a woman and femininity is your key to real beauty. Oh man, this is the article. Are Fashion and Beauty the Same? Fashion is seasonal, beauty is eternal. Muhammad Speaks, April 1962. Now, let me talk to the women who are going from pear-shaped and S-shaped. And also, shout out to all of the women with beautiful feet who are giving themselves corns and bunions and cuts and bruises by sticking them into Italian and fashion design apparel. I see you every day. The new thing is I've noticed, in D.C., this is everywhere, but I just noticed this in D.C., sisters, their calf muscles is like, they look like, I don't know, like a football, a basketball player or something, like Dwayne Wade or something, because of the heels. What are those heels called? You walk on these heels, they're like stilted so up that your calf muscles look like they're about to explode, like you're on HGH. somebody break this down for me. I'm not too up on the woman's clothing and the shoes for sure. Send in your comments. Surah 24 in the Quran. There's other places that talk about proper clothing. Let me put up the photo one more time. I think this sister is beautiful. I think she's clothing herself to guard, cover her shame, or cover your shame. In America, she would be covering herself to guard against evil, without question. If she were to get on a bus, a train, supermarket, broad daylight, men would absolutely stand at attention, open doors, call her sister, bow, not stare. I seen this, like a 20-inch Venus. Hold on, what did Raekwon say? I seen it like a 20-inch Zenith, believe it. Hip-hop quotable, Raekwon. I seen this, like a 20-inch Zenith. Now let me put up her and then Buffy the Body. This is our sister, the Sudanese journalist. Let me get the slacks, because I want you all to, those are the slacks. Now, I'm sorry, I can't ride with those who say that these are tight. Now, I have listeners in Africa, in Kenya, Tanzania. I don't know about Sudan. We can talk about this in terms of Sudan. And you have to leave room for the local, cultural, indigenous traditions. This may be seen as tight in comparison to what people are used to. In America, I'm a Sharia authority. This is not tight in America. Are you feeling me? This is what I want more and more women to dress like. I'm the jurist here. I don't need no Arabic teaching to tell you that if a sister would wear, if more women would wear this, this Islam in America, I'll take it. However, in Muslim countries, this may be a departure from the norm. Send in your comments. Or don't. I think that the thong is much more oppressive than a veil if I had to pick. I don't like seeing women fully wrapped up in the veil. But I hate women in the thong in public. I hate seeing thongs rising up and riding up. We've talked about this before on the show last year. I think it's disgusting. I don't like. There are a few of my Latino brothers that I've met. I'm not sure exactly what it is. This is not all Latino men, but I have seen where there are some brothers among the original community known as Latino who do have a preference for a woman in a tight garment situation, and they expect for men to look at them. These men that I'm referring to, which are not the majority, they actually expect other men to look at their woman, and it gives them a sense of status. I know what I'm talking about now. I don't want to be stereotypical. But there are a few men out there that like their companion, female companion, to be dressed very tight in public. I don't like that. I will look and hopefully turn away. But I don't want nobody on my arm for no extended period of time with 8,000 men looking with lustful thoughts. I just don't think that's cool. So I would love for more and more slacks to look like that. I think her color coordination is on point. But again, if you grew up in an Islamic country, this may seem a bit liberal. Now, let me make a final point and then I'll move on. I do not put it past the United Nations or the West to be feeding this type of a dispute and controversy in order to cause a rupture inside of an Islamic country. This sister may be a functionary of people who want to bring down the Sudanese government. She may be a functionary, unwittingly, of people who want to accomplish certain things with the women of Sudan. You cannot rule that out. But let's start with Surah 7, verse 26. I'll read this again, and then I'll move on. O children of Adam, we have indeed sent down to you clothing to cover your shame, and clothing for beauty, and clothing that guards against evil, that is best. This is of the messages of Allah, that they may be mindful. What category of clothing is this? I've asked a question. How would you want your daughter or mother or your sister dressing? Well, there's only one song you can play. When you, as a man, you know, you've fallen short. I think it was about 11 years ago I was pumping this. I was running down, I was in California, hitting South Central. I was hitting I was hitting the Beverly Center. Anybody shop at the Beverly Center? Shout out to you. I used to go to a bookstore by the Beverly Center in is that Hollywood? And get a lot of good reading in. But man, I used to pump this song. If you want to apologize to a woman and you want to keep it a little gangster, this is how you do it. Cause some of us, you know, have a split personality, schizophrenic. We want our female companions, girlfriends, wives, mothers and daughters to dress one way, but it's okay for the everyday woman on the street to look like more like Buffy the Body. We have a lot of work to do, straighten out our own selves. Yep, I had to do it. Queens, something about Queens cats going to LA. The rumor is that E from Queens was spotted in Hollywood, even during the Michael Jackson situation. We'll have to confirm this later on. Here's another Queens cat. Again, from the top, if you want to apologize, I'll pump this for you right now. You're in trouble. Yeah, one more time. It's time to apologize, man. We have permitted this nonsense because we have a split personality. Nori, one more time. I'm sorry. It's a lot of men in trouble from what I'm reading. Yes, Nori says sweating at the foul line like Pat Ewing. Think about what I'm saying. Weigh in with your comments. Sweating at the foul line like Pat Ewing. Is that what some of you all have been doing? Apologize to your mom, your wife, your girlfriend, your daughter, and your sister too. Even if she looks as good as Toya.
In the name of blackness, you are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com. I know it's hard for a dog like me, thinking what I get locked. Come home tonight or not, Black Princess. Kiss
you when I see you. White women suntan and try to be you. The melanin in your skin, make it all see-through. Sometimes you hurt y'all, not understanding what we doing. Sweating at the foul line like Pat Ewing. You're from all the brothers, I dedicate to the mothers. My mother, grandmother of the earth. If it wasn't for women, then it wouldn't be birth. What?
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Thinking she shine, straight beautiful. Yo, I'm really glad to see mine. Kiss you on the forehead, cause yo, boo, this one for you. The stupid shit in the past, I ain't mean it. You know, it's silly cause I need it. But when you cook, the way that it smell, the way that it look, the chef plus you look good, that's off the hook. You go to school too, sit back, or respect dude. Working part time, spending your time around mine. I'm loving you, that's why I wrote this rhyme. Flying in the Bell Harbor when we need the shot. Cartier, Gucci, Cartier, won't stop.
Now, if I'm helping you out right now, let me know. 11 years ago, I was pumping this going to South Central, and in Hollywood, a Queens cat, Nori. I wish Nori still flowed like this. Okay, one more verse, Nori. Get the last group of men that are in trouble with some woman out of this.
Yo, it's all good. I'm liking that you understand me. It even flipped when I was down in Miami. Call me on my cell phone. Jones like I'm still home. Tell me what you wearing, girl. Always looking feeling, girl. Step into my life now. Share my world. That's what I like about you. You got faith in me. Be shining by yourself when you're laced with me. The only thing I love more, gotta be the kid. You got the real hair while all the chicks rock wigs. I can remember back then, like descriptively. When your friends kept saying not to get with me. But you couldn't help it. I knew the both for us felt it. The both for us felt it. The both for us dealt with. The rumors and the lies. Your eyes and eyes is enough for a brother. You cut off ties to any other chick I used to mess with. Keeping it real, cause you the real one that I wanna step with. This is a song right here. This is dedicated to all of y'all. You know what I mean? Cause we know how we are. We know how we make y'all feel sometimes. Knowing that we ain't doing it purposely. We just being the person that we are. Getting jealous, you know what I mean? You know what it is. This one's for y'all. What up?
You know, the scariest movie I ever saw was Prom Night. Prom Night. What's the scariest movie, horror flick you all saw? Prom Night. Because I saw it at a very young age. There's a scene in Prom Night that you had to be prepared for. This Halloween flick might be not to be messed with. August 5th, 2009, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, CedricMuhammad.com, BlackElectorate.com, BlackCoffeeChannel.com. Let me take the remaining part of hour number two to make another point. We talked a little bit about the left-right teams that we're being herded into thanks to the duopoly of News Corp and GE, MSNBC and Fox, who are on the same team. I know many people don't see that, but they are. If you think in terms of the 5, 10, 85% concept offered by Master Farad Muhammad, whose picture I'll put up if I have to, Stop thinking left, right, center. Start thinking 5, 10, 85%. Did that just rhyme? Stop thinking left, right, center. Start thinking 5, 10, 85%. Oh, that was hot. Stop crying. I'm about to offend some other people now. Because I think I've reached the point where there's certain truths right now, uncomfortable truths, that have to be told. One of them is regarding the relationship between Black Americans and Africa. Now, in the 60s and 70s, we went through something. I guess I'll put the camera on me for this. It was a beautiful time period. It no longer exists. The heyday, the era, if you will, of Pan-Africanism and cultural nationalism in the United States. Beautiful time period. SNCC, us, Nation of Islam, Black Panther Party, all playing a certain role in turning our minds and hearts back to Africa. Muhammad Speaks newspaper and several others playing leading roles. We've talked about those very important publications from the 60s. Muhammad Speaks was one of five. But there's a group of people, I think, in this country, Black Americans, who feel that the discussion of Africa can go no further than just historical celebration. We were kings and queens, you know, ancient Kemet. You know what I'm talking about. They lift up the great work, the vital and critically important work of such scholars as Sheikh Anta Diop, Chancellor Williams, Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben. Others. But when you ask them a question about what's going on in Africa right now and what we need to be doing right now, they're at a loss. Africa and being concerned about Africa cannot be reduced to wearing a kente cloth or a dashiki. It cannot be reduced to taking trips to Africa and sitting down in a hut of a tribal village somewhere talking about you're down with the people. That's a very important element if you're going to educate children. I think that the cultural connection to Africa is very important. Our young people need to grow up on the books of Sheikh Anta Diop, Dr. John Henry Clark, J.A. Rogers. But it can't stop there. It can't stop there. We've been slacking on a meaningful engagement between us and the diaspora, the states, the nations, the grassroots organizations, the civil societies of Africa. So that's my preface for bringing up the Second Congress of African Economists. Let me put the AU emblem up. Emblem. Because I didn't go through the door of some group of elite activists in Black America who think that they are the end all when it comes to the subject of Africa. But yet when you do a little fact checking, you can't find that they have any meaningful path to work on the problems that they keep harping upon. I didn't go through that group. I learned what I learned about Africa through my family, through hip-hop music, through Minister Louis Farrakhan, and through actual Africans that I met. Then, through blackelectorate.com, as we began to cover the news in Africa, that's how I learned to stay topical and timely about Africa in terms of current events. I did not put on a dashiki. I didn't burn 18,000 incense talking about I was doing something to help people an ocean away. So there was no clique, there was no team, there was no group, there was no elite or how could I say it? There was no society that I went through in order to embrace Africa. It was just how I said it. My mother, my father, hip-hop music, the books of the scholars that I just mentioned, Sheikh Anta Diop, etc., Africans that I met in America, and blackelectorate.com. And through my knowledge as an economist and my concern, Nation of Islam, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I would not have even known about the United States of Africa had it not been Minister Farrakhan. A lot of people like to write. See, this group that I'm talking about has a problem at times with the Nation of Islam. And it's over Brother Malcolm. That wound has not healed yet. And I've talked to Pan-Africanists who agree with the Nation. I've talked to members of the Nation who agree with Pan-Africanists, but that wound has nothing to really do with differences over Africa. We really agree on Africa. What we don't agree on is the relationship between Malcolm X, Brother Malcolm, and the Nation of Islam. So some people kind of hide behind that as an excuse to not acknowledge that in the last 20 years, Minister Farrakhan has been the leader connecting everyday blacks. I'm not talking about the elite that hang out at academia. I'm talking about everyday blacks. It's been Minister Farrakhan who's been the one who has connected everyday blacks with what's going on in Africa through the Final Call newspaper, through his speeches, and through his regular trips to Africa. It was Minister Farrakhan who brought thousands of blacks to Ghana in 1994. Nobody covered that. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry if it hurt your feelings that I can't tell you it was through some other leader, it was through another interest group or some clique that I learned about the United States of Africa or the Africa Union. It was through Minister Farrakhan. And I sat in a room and watched Minister Farrakhan tell Fat Joe, LL Cool J, Queen Latifah, Chuck D. I could go on and on and on. On and on and on, on and on and on. Take it out to the break of dawn. Oh, I just threw some Tretch from Naughty by Nature in on you. I sat and watched Minister Farrakhan talk to rappers about the United States of Africa. Who else has done that? I mean, let's just be honest. There's no other leader that has the standing to do that. Okay, now that I have said that, the point I'm making is we have to get over these little stupid beefs. These little reasons that we have holding on to like a pacifier to not work with one another. There are people who will not work with me on Africa, even though it's obvious the work that I've been blessed to do could play a contributing role if it's linked up with others. There's people who won't work with me. They'll never say it to my face. But there's people who will not work with me, one, because they don't want to deal with the issue of economics, two, because of the last name Muhammad, and three, because I'm not part of any clique. I see you. I know what's going on. You hate, you applaud, and then you mumble under your breath that you wish it was somebody else. I'm sorry. I would like to work with you. But I'm not going to go through some clique, some front door of a group of people who really their standing only is in America. They have no standing in Africa. I'm not going to go through you in order to get street credibility or credentials on the subject of Africa or the United States of Africa or anything. Okay, let me say that first, so just, you know, in case you do, I don't really get into this subject a lot, but I just want some people to know that I do know, that you know that I know. So let's sit down and build or leave it alone. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing and inviting people to get involved in a very important effort, not the only one, but to me a very undeniably unique and critical effort. That's what the African Union is doing with the United States of Africa. Critical part of that is the economic integration of Africa. So if you go to blackelectorate.com, you will see that there's an announcement for a second Congress of African Economists. This is open to every kind of researcher, academician, analyst. You don't have to have a PhD card-carrying economist in order to submit a proposal to the African Union. I encourage you to read what I wrote, read the official advertisement, which is up at blackelectorate.com, and let me know, or not just me, you can contact the African Union directly through the information that's there. I am the rapporteur. It's a French word. It just means that I'm somewhat like the ambassador or representative or the ombudsman. Is that word ombudsman? I'm kind of like that, you know? I'm the person who has the responsibility of keeping the diaspora informed of what's going on with the First Congress of African Economists in Africa. So part of my function is in letting you know that there will be a second Congress of African Economists, and I was the first to have the honor to do this. So to have somebody from the diaspora announcing this is very humbling, very touching to me. So I want to thank those in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia that may be listening at the African Union headquarters, the Department of Economic Affairs, the African Union Commission, who I'm working closely with to try to get more of us in the diaspora involved. So again, let me read from that to give you an idea of what this is all about before we head into hour number three. And we're getting to Dambisa Moyo next hour, God willing. Let me read my statement. Please spread this. The media is not going to help me. They're not going to help me do it. Now, some cornball gets involved and they'll be on TV. But spread the word. There's a second Congress of African Economists. The first Congress of African Economists is still working. Our papers and our proposals will be published soon. And I'll update you on the work of the first Congress of African Economists. I've made some suggestions that I think the African Union could follow to do a better job of engaging us. Here's what I wrote. For nearly 50 years, the African Union, previously known as the Organization of African Unity, the OAU, and many of you know about the OAU from the work of Brother Malcolm, from the Great Independence Movement in Africa. So this is the OAU, which became, in the last 10 years, the African Union. For nearly 50 years, the African Union has been dedicated to the independence and empowerment of all African people through the promotion of cooperation, solidarity, and coordinated unity among nation states, regional communities, civil society, and grassroots organizations. To learn more about the history of the African Union, please visit the official website, www.africa-union.org. A key activity towards the aims and objectives of the African Union is the convergence of all of its nations toward a common economic market. As established in the historic 1991 Abuja Treaty, the establishment of strong regional communities east, west, north, south, and central in Africa and their proper integration has been agreed upon as the approach best suited to achieve this goal. So in 1991, the Abuja Treaty mandated that if Africa were to become one, they would do so on the basis of building up each of the five regions. So to learn more about this objective and methodology, one can read the Treaty Establishing the African Economic Community, and I give the link. It's a PDF file. It's very long. It'll educate you. To fulfill this vision, the African Union Commission organizes the Congress of African Economists, which seeks to gather the very best researchers, academicians, and practitioners to analyze and propose solutions to economic problems impeding the development of Africa. These solutions are then to be advocated and popularized among the masses and civil society and serve as the basis for advice to African heads of state, their leading economic advisors, and government officials. So, for instance, I have a direct pipeline. The Congress has a direct pipeline to the Committee of Ten, for instance. This is one central bank governor and one finance minister in each of the five regions of Africa. So the Committee of Ten is receiving the recommendations, the advice of the Congress of African Economists. I would like to see that strengthened. I think that the Congress of African Economists should soon be sending out teams and delegations to look into controversial matters where we're not getting accurate information. For instance, I think that, and I wrote the African Union, I told them, let me turn the music off. I wrote the African Union suggesting that when the whole controversy over the Somali pirate issue was going on, that a team of economists taken from the Congress of African Economists be sent to Somalia and East Africa in order to advise the African Union mission in Somalia, the Committee of Ten, and the leaders in that region. Okay, so it's things like that that this body can play a role in. As a member of the Bureau of the First Congress of African Economists and Rapporteur to the Diaspora in the United States of America, it gives me great pleasure to announce the theme and general date for the Second Congress of African Economists. The next Congress of African Economists will take place in March of 2010 in a location on the African continent to be announced in the future under the theme of How to Achieve a Strong and Sustainable Economic Growth in Africa. The theme of the first Congress of African Economists was Towards the Creation of a Single African Currency. It was held in Nairobi, Kenya from March 2nd to March 5th. You can learn more about the first Congress at a link that I provide. More updates on the work of the first Congress are forthcoming. It is my great honor and privilege to encourage and invite all researchers, academicians, and practitioners in the field of economics based in the African diaspora in the United States of America who are concerned about economic development and growth in Africa to seriously consider participating in this second Congress. Below, for your review and further guidance, you will find the official advertisement for this historic next step. May each of us play a positive role in contributing to the realization and fulfillment of the vision for a truly and economically strong Africa. So I'm inviting anyone within the sound of my voice, go look at this advertisement. You can email three individuals at the Department of Economic Affairs in Ethiopia. The phone number is there. You don't have to go through me. It's a direct pipeline, okay? We'll be right back. Our number, Tree, How to Show in the Diaspora. Go tell somebody. Spread the word. We'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum. First of all, I want to say that this is my first Savior's Day, and I'm very, very honored to be here. Now, y'all know I'm here representing the hip-hop community as well as the black community. And one thing in the hip-hop community, we very influential from what we say and what we do. And we don't really have a leader. We don't really have nobody who we can go to when we have a situation that's a problem. But me, as the leader of the hip-hop community, I always go to Minister Farrakhan because... because the minister has always been there for the hip-hop community. I want to tell y'all about a story, not to take too much time, but it was about 10 years ago when the rapper Notorious Biggie got killed in Los Angeles. I put a call out to Minister James. He called Minister Farrakhan, and we put the day a gathering where all of the rappers came together, and we ended all of our beefs, and we all had peace, and it was love. And we've been living that way ever since then. And nobody really gave Minister Farrakhan credit for that. Nobody really, but he didn't want the credit, but I'm just saying nobody really gave him the credit for that. And that's why I'm here today, to show my support and my love and to show that Savior's Day is really affecting the hip-hop community. And that's why I'm here. I just want to say that I'm very honored to be at my first Savior's Day. I want to thank all of the speakers here on both sides. I'm just here to give my information so I can run it back to the hip-hop community. Thank y'all.
So, all of you Africans that know how to do stuff, that's working for other people, y'all need to open your own business. Save your money, quit paying mothers for Jerry girls, quit paying mothers for some crimes, save your money, start your own business.
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
Wake up, jumped out my bed. I'm in a two-man cell with my homie little half dead. Murder was the case that they gave me. Dear God, I wonder, can you save me? I'm only 18, so I'm a young buck. It's a ride, if I don't scrap, I'm getting stuck. But that's the life of a G, I guess. S.A. way deep, shame two in the chest. Best run, cause brothers are dropping quicker. Too late, damn. Down goes another and bouncing off the wall, throwing them dogs, getting that rep as a young hog. It ain't nothing like the street life. You better be strapped with your shank, cause ain't no fist fight. So I guess I got to handle mine. Since I did the crime, I got to do my time.
Now say that don't run to me, look at the captain. I'm with women, I'm with the CIA, I'm with the cameras, so get me.
Cedric Muhammad.
in the dirt, sitting on swole, 27 years old, up for parole, stroll. I'm back up on my feet with my mind on the money that I've been making soon as I touch the streets. Things done changed on this side. Remember they used to thump, but now they blast, right? But it ain't no thing to me, cause now I'm what they call a low-class OG. The little homies from the hood with grip are the ones I get with, cause I'm down the set trip. I'm bigger than you, so what you wanna do? Didn't know he had a 22 straight sitting behind his back. I grabbed his pockets and then I heard his cat. I fell to the ground with blood on my hands. I didn't understand how a nigga so young could bust a cap. I used to be the same way back. I guess that's what I get for what? For trying to jack the little homies for their grip.
Me like me, me say something, what you see. From the street, yeah, I come up when I come to see. They don't get no
Kendrick Muhammad.
Something for the real OGs to get with. Some facts made, I made. Now you running, but I'm played like every single day. Really though, you know me, I'm the smooth macadamia gaming them for my home. No need being calm if you pack right and learning just enough to keep your sack right. Late nights, I wonder what they getting for. Early morning on the corners, what they hitting for. Seven young G's, what they serve down in a G-Ride, east side, what they swerve now. Not thinking about what's really going on. Got crept on, stepped on, now they gone. I spent 4 years in the county with none but convicts around me. But now I'm back at the pound and we expose ways for the youth to survive. Some think it's wrong, but we tend to think it's right. So we call them beans you can make, cause when you broke, you break. Check it out. So ain't no need for your mama to trip, cause you the hustling and youngster clocking your crib.
Now me gonna keep your sleep, still I don't cheat, but life can already be meant to be. A little ghetto boy.
Kendrick Muhammad.
Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. I got an email, comment rather, from Trent from Asbury Park. He says that Snoop Dogg will be in Asbury Park and he will be there. That's right. Yeah. Why not? Some of you all forgot about Lil Ghetto Boy. Snoop DL Double G. That's a picture of me at the first Congress of African Economists in Kenya. Dr. Christopher Molosi is to my right in that picture. It's a sister from Cameroon in the back, Kareem. And a few others you can't see. But I'm going to turn some of the pictures from my attendance into a video collage soon, sometime in September. Hopefully you'll be able to enjoy that. Just some images and memories, pictures of the first Congress of African Economists. Now, for a while I have paused. I would say delayed on commenting on Dambisa Moyo's book, Dead Aid. I'm going to do that in the context of the need for a Congress of African Economists, the need for a single currency, what the Second Congress of African Economists is about. Let me finish reading the official announcement at blackelectorate.com. Call for papers, Second Congress of African Economists. Says the African Union Commission is organizing the Second Congress of African Economists, which aims to analyze and propose an appropriate and extensive solution to the economic problems impeding the development of the African continent. The main theme of this Second Congress of African Economists is, quote, this is the official theme for the next Congress. So those of you that would like to propose papers and attend, participate, this is what you should be riding into and on. This is the question, how to achieve a strong and sustainable economic growth in Africa in order to curb unemployment and sustain regional and continental integration dynamics. How to achieve a strong and sustainable economic growth in Africa in order to curb unemployment and sustain regional and continental integration dynamics. Sub-themes can be, 1, growth factors in Africa, 2, the basis of the fight against unemployment, unemployment growth relationship, 3, employment policies and unemployment in Africa, 4, why are savings rates low in Africa, which economic policy for high and sustainable savings rates, 5, fiscal policies, savings and development financing, 6, integration, job mobility and unemployment, 7, endogenous growth factors, 8, instability of economic growth, 9, engines of growth, 10, understanding business cycles, and 11, the effects of investment on employment. So these are some of the sub-themes you can pick through. Some of those may spark your interest. I think there's two that I'm looking at right now. Articles on this main theme are being solicited from African scholars in the continent and the diaspora and from all parties interested in solving the African economic problems. Articles should not exceed 10,000 words or 30 pages and should include an executive summary of 2 pages, including sound recommendations, and be submitted by October 2nd, 2009. So you've only got 2 months, a little less than 2 months, to get the paper in. The cost of participation to this Congress of the authors of articles will be covered by the African Union Commission. All African economists, those in the continent and in the diaspora, all economists of the rest of the world and interested in the problems of the African economy, as well as partner institutions to the development of Africa, are invited to take part in this important Congress, which will take place in the first week of March 2010. Man, I'm hoping that I got to look at the calendar, because I had to literally go from Savior's Day in Chicago to Ethiopia. It was rough. So it looks like I may have to do that again if this is going to be the first week of March. And then for further details, the contact information for 3 very important people, Yao Desina, Chikoro Dumbia, and Faitun Getahun. All of them hard workers at the Department of Economic Affairs. If you want more information, you can email them. That stuff's up at blackelectorate.com. There's even a phone number. And again, just get better acquainted with the history of the African Union, africa-union.org.